Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Ha ha! Just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
This weekend, I will be in Plano, Texas, headlining Hyenas Comedy Club, July 11th through the 13th. I'll also be doing the Kill Tony show on July 10th at the Hyenas in Plano, Texas. All that ticket information at adamraycomedy.com. So come out and see me in Plano, Texas, guesting on the Kill Tony show with Tony Hinchcliffe at Hyenas in Plano, Texas. And then I'll be headlining the weekend, Thursday through Saturday, the 11th through the 13th, at Hyenas. And then July 20th, I will be in Hawaii with Dane Cook. So come out and see me there. Tickets at adamraycomedy.com or danecook.com. August 8th through the 10th, I'll be in Pittsburgh for the first time at the Pittsburgh Improv. Bring in Sandy Danto. Cannot wait. Come out and see me. Pittsburgh Improv, August 8th through the 10th. And then August, what else we got in August? Some dates in Chelan, Washington and Sunnyvale, California. All at adamraycomedy.com. Brad Williams this weekend. Holy shit, Brad is always on the road. You know that. He's traveling like a madman, and he will be this weekend at the Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio. Go see Brad Friday and Saturday. Columbus Funny Bone. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. Today's episode, holy shit. Before we get into that, by the way, La Jolla, California, San Diego. Holy shit, Comedy Store. Maybe, you know, I say this too often, but it's the truth. I had such a fun weekend of comedy, man. The Hang, the shows, taped them all, so going to be posting some clips, maybe even some full sets. Fuck it, you know what I'm saying? Some of my best crowd work and just the audience on the late show Saturday was just unreal. So thanks to the staff, of course, always at the La Jolla Comedy Store and all the comedians and the fans. A lot of ALN fans, Corolla fans, and returning customers, man. So I love that club. Thanks again for everybody that came out. Today's guest is a hilarious Pete Lee, who you know from his many appearances on The Tonight Show, Conan, Comedy Central. His hilarious podcast, Snuggle Storm, is available where you get podcasts and audio. Follow Pete on Instagram at Pete Lee. It's three Pete Lees. He's hilarious, as brilliant as he is sweet. His journey to L.A., His work ethic, his joke writing, we get into it all and just laugh a lot. It's just a kickback, relax, and enjoy the laughs on this one because we just had a ball, us three. Follow me on Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast. I gave you the tour dates. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present eps and your ALN merch. Shop AdamRay.com for all the Adam Ray merch. Read the Room, my album, available on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. Go get that shit, listen to it, and then come out and see my new hour on the road right now. She-Ra season 2 still streaming on Netflix. Netflix, get your fix on Netflix. And season 3 is going to drop first week of August, so be on the lookout for that. And email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Your questions, where you get the pod, how you get into it. Going to be reading a ton of fan mail in the next episode because it's a special episode with Brad and I announcing something big. So do that before next week's episode, all right? A lot of great eps coming up. Adam Devine, Brent Morin. Holy shit. Wee Man's coming back. Gabriel Iglesias. It's going to be great. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, wherever, and comment on the iTunes page. All right. Now that we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the hilarious Pete Lee.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down?
So why don't you sit down?
Listen to our dope podcast.
To our dope
whether
podcast.
Lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Oh, come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
I mean, you know, between the dwarves and the candy, it's pretty much a dream scenario.
Is it sacrilegious to eat Easter candy post Easter?
It's before Easter.
What is?
Right now, right?
Right now.
What?
It's still
when's Easter?
Jewish.
Oh, Easter's April.
Jewish.
See, when,
he's a Jew.
Well, see, when people go,
so funny.
St. Patrick's. See, when people go, Easter's coming up. I go, you mean Passover's coming up?
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because you're like, yeah, that's the OG original holiday. Yeah.
Like I posted when people were like, St. Patrick's Day is coming. I was like, you mean we're pre-Passover? Nobody gives any love to Passover. Do you even know what Passover is?
It's where...
Thanks, Pete. Yeah. So anyway...
What do they call Passover in Wisconsin?
The Jew Day.
I think if you said Passover, they'd be like, oh, is that when you drive past the bar and you actually don't go in?
That's when Brett Favre would overthrow Antonio Freeman, is he would pass over. He would throw the ball over him. That's what we call Passover.
That's a great number 86 reference.
Hey, man. I know a very few things in life, but one thing I know is just about every receiver that Brett Favre right through to.
I love that. Yeah. It makes me feel, I feel very at home here.
Yeah. No, hey, no problem. My wife's family's from Fond du Lac.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Not at all.
That's my favorite town name in Wisconsin. Like they literally had a town name with fondle in it, and then they kept it. Can you turn my level down a little bit?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
So now you go down there to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, you go there and you eat cheese.
Curds.
You eat cheese and you stare at each other. By the way, I love Jewish people. I just don't know any languages.
Yeah, you have to say that. After all that, you have to say that.
I don't know anything about Passover. What is Passover?
That's the thing. Does Adam know?
Of course. Here's the thing. Passover is one of those holidays. Hanukkah, you can kind of just like look at the menorah, see the candles lit, go, oh, Jews get 8 days of presents. It's not worth explaining the whole story. It's not a romantic story.
Mm-hmm.
Passover has more symbolism. There's more characters. It would actually make a great TV show. You know what I'm saying?
Are you stalling right now?
Look, Passover started when Danny Glover passed on Lethal Weapon 5.
He's starting a TV pitch. He's like, all right.
I didn't come here with an idea for a show, but let me look around the room. All right, so jelly beans, right? Okay.
It's more of an episodic. It's all about heart, you know, really.
No, I mean, it's about Moses and Pharaoh and the Jews in Egypt. And
that could be any Jewish holiday.
The Ten Commandments. And, you know, there's a lot of, there's, you know, horseradish and there's matzah.
Sure. There's food. Is there atoning or anything like that?
No, that's Yom Kippur.
That's Yom
Kippur.
That's
when we say, I'm sorry. We go, sorry, not sorry, you know.
Okay, and I can get down with that because I'm very sorry about everything being from Wisconsin.
Because you have to say it. And then you have to say it with the accent. Now, is that one of those words where, because I feel like when you have an accent and then you move out, maybe the accent leaves you. There are certain words that'll like trigger you back into it, and I feel like sorry is one of them.
Yeah, sorry is one of them. About like I'm trying to say it like about instead of about. Hi, mom. That triggers it whenever she calls me on the phone.
Is she just so Wisconsin?
Well, my mom is originally from the South, so she has like a mixture of like a southern.
Geez.
Like a southern accent. If I had to do an impression of my mom, it'd be like, oh, hello, Chicky. How are you?
Oh, my
She
God.
Calls me Chicky. That's what.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea. I have no idea where, but she calls me Chicky. She calls my other brothers Chicky. I think she just doesn't know our names. She calls my nieces Chickies. Everybody's a Chicky.
Amazing.
Kids are chicks.
Yeah.
Chicks, baby birds, Chickies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
okay.
She's Chicky too. So everybody's
Chicky.
Well,
what the hell then?
Yeah. It's like, come the George on. Foreman household.
who's that? George.
Yeah.
That's everybody.
It's like being in the South where it's like, I'd like a Dr. Pepper Coke, you know, but everybody's
oh
a Chicky.
God.
Like,
it's so funny you say that because my mom's from the South. Mm-hmm. She is from Savannah, Georgia.
Oh.
And she calls everyone Bitsy.
Bitsy.
Which was a pet that she had when she was a kid.
Bitsy?
Yeah. So now she just calls everybody Bitsy. And that literally applies to everyone. So I wonder if that's a Southern thing where it's like, we don't like to learn names here. Like, we just think one nickname for fucking everybody.
It's so funny because my girlfriend has her childhood dog was named Bitsy.
Well, look at that. Was it from Savannah, Georgia? What did
it was now, from Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
From Alabama. Well, maybe. Maybe my mom's Bitsy was a Buddhist.
Yeah,
and came back as another Bitsy.
Now, when your mom started calling you Bitsy, did you think it was some sort of like dwarf slang?
Yeah, I thought it was like a bit of a human.
Yeah,
like that's not the full human.
Yeah, you're very Bitsy. You're very Bitsy like.
It's a bit of a human. It's like a very Larry David thing. Like, you should be a dwarf. You should be a bit. Like you're a bit of a human.
Yeah.
That does sound like a fingers insult. Like what's up, Bitsy? Like,
what is cheese really as celebrated as people joke about? You know what I'm saying? Like there's certain like people talk about Seattle and like coffee and suicide and like those things actually do exist there. You know,
I love that cheese is our suicide.
Yeah. By the way, that's
cheese is our suicide is the name of your next album.
Yeah, if you're a band from Wisconsin, how do you not have a song called "Cheese Is Our Suicide"?
That is so funny.
That's
pretty
good.
Yeah, it doesn't wreak havoc on families, just your colon. That's what it does. It just binds you up for a little while. I mean, it's so good and it's so fresh. And we were little kids, like we would eat like a heavy pasta for, you know, or like a casserole. And then we would be drinking glasses of milk. And then like you'd have
so much dairy.
Yeah. You'd have like two glasses of milk. And I remember when I first got to New York, I lived there for 12 years. And I remember I was eating a cheesecake with this girl I was on a date with. And she goes, "Oh, that's so rich." And I was like, "What do you mean?
Like what is nothing?"
I had no idea what rich meant. I had because that just wasn't a part of my
in so many ways.
Yeah, she's like, you know, when the milk gets in your stomach and you just go like, ugh, and I was like, no.
You're like, you know what it's like to not have milk in your stomach?
Yeah,
it's
like, that's just called the satisfying rumbling of your tummy, right?
Yeah,
that's it.
It was crazy, and like, and then you know, I'd be hanging out with my friends, and then I'd have like five beers, and they'd be like, whoa, dude, like are you? And I wouldn't be drunk at all. I'd be like, you guys want to do some shots too? And they'd be like, you have a problem. I'm like, this is normal.
Yeah.
This is all normal. You drink milk and then you drink until you're asleep. Yeah. Basically.
So holy like, shit. Is there like a scene from My Big Fat Greek Wedding where the scene was like, oh, he's a vegetarian. Cool. I'll make lamb. Like, is there like that scene in Wisconsin where you go like, oh, I'm lactose intolerant. Okay, I'll get you low-fat milk. Or is there that where they just don't understand that that's an actual thing?
Yeah, we'll put some ice cubes in your milk if you can't handle it. It's
we'll water it down.
Yeah. The first time I ever even heard of lactose intolerant was on Seinfeld when he had that joke. He's like, I'm lactose intolerant. I don't like lactose and I don't tolerate it.
Yeah.
And I remember going like, that's such a funny joke. But then I was like, what is that? And there was no Google.
Yeah, no Google. So you had to take out your trusty old World Book Encyclopedia.
And nobody's lactose intolerant in Wisconsin, right?
No.
So there's no frame of reference.
Yeah. Even if you had the allergy, you would just grow accustomed to it. You would James Bond yourself with the poison, but with lactose, you just figure it out. Or like
mainline lactose.
Yeah.
No. And that's my theory behind all these fucking peanut allergies. I don't think people are actually allergic to peanuts.
Really?
I truly don't. I think it's people that just haven't been like exposed to them at all.
And they're just terrified.
And they're terrified and they're not like, and they need to be slowly exposed to them.
I think that might be true because, you know, I mean, look at a lot of these airplanes. They're 20 years old or, you know, like they're a really old airplane and they've been serving peanuts on them forever.
Right.
And there's like peanut dust in the cracks. Like
if you were
that sensitive to peanuts, you would go insane just being in an airport.
Well, some people do. Some people have like, you know, where was this? Where they, I think, turned the plane around because somebody was having an attack. But then I was like, they never specified what the attack was like. I was like, how do you know somebody didn't just freak the fuck out? Because they're like, something bad will happen. And they were just like, God damn it. Just laying the plane.
Someone left their emotional support dog on the fucking ticket counter.
But you're right though. It's always like the smell of it and everything's around there. Like there's no way.
You can't, you can never go see a baseball game.
Yeah. There's,
die.
Yeah. You'd die.
You would you would die just watching it on TV.
Yeah.
It would permeate.
Do you think
through.
They can't even sing the seventh inning stretch song and they just like have to meet themselves when they're like, buy me some, oh God, and Cracker Jacks. Just buy me the Cracker Jacks.
We're 2 seconds away and mark my words, our God, fans,
from somebody complaining.
Listen to this. Someone's going to go to a baseball game and be like, I thought
yeah.
has peace. peanut allergy.
Why would you want to go to the stand and buy them?
Why? What? That song encourages him to buy peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
If my son even sees a man in a top hat with a monocle, it reminds him of Mr. Peanut, and he chokes to death.
It's horrible. We're like two steps away from someone actually complaining and having a petition, and then there'll be some CNN article. People are outraged. No, it's person. It's one person. Stop fucking listening to these idiots.
I was on so when I lived in New York City, I don't know what it was, but every day, I think it was like just kind of being a bachelor, you know, like I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's what I eat. Like I'd go to auditions. It was like a good luck thing.
Yeah.
And so
it's easy. It's portable.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. I was on the subway and I had my peanut butter and jelly sandwich and this hipster kid, I do a bit about it, so I'm not trying to do a bit.
No,
but,
do
he was like literally like pointing at me and going like, yeah, no, no. And I'm from Wisconsin. I was like, no, yeah. You know? And like the long story short is that the dude came over and got up in my face and he's like, yo, I have peanut allergies. He's like, what the hell are you doing bringing that on the...
Then why are you walking closer?
Exactly. Exactly.
You idiot.
Yeah. And we got into this...
I would have thrown it at him like a frisbee. Fucking catch it.
Also, there's a homeless guy jerking off right next to you. Yeah. And this is what you're concerned about?
Yeah. There's a guy that may or may not have an infectious disease putting fluids into the subway car.
Yeah.
And you're worried about my peanut. I literally, it came down to, we got into like a New York like umpire screaming at a baseball manager argument on the train.
So
like
he's getting closer to it.
Yeah, in each other's faces. And it got to the point where I was like blowing onto my sandwich going, there's no such thing as secondhand sandwich. And
that's amazing.
And then he got off the train before me, and then I was left on the car with all the people that just saw the thing.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm a maniac. Like I saw it. Those are the times where I go, do I have anger issues? Like, what?
Well, I was just going to ask, like, what makes you irate? Because you seem like the most patient, calm
person. Yeah, you seem like a very nice Midwest guy. So you're like, yeah, so what
pisses
do you
get
you
upset
off?
About? Like, if the Cracker Barrel closes at 10? Like, what?
The only thing I get mad about.
Okay, nothing on that? Yeah.
No, sorry.
You're like, actually, no, that is a real, that's why I'm not laughing. That's a real thing.
I'm stone cold serious. No, what if I was like the worst person and you're like, what makes you mad? And I was like, just minorities getting ahead, you know, just like getting their due. You know,
these freaking Jews, am I right? You're not one
progressive
of them,
women.
Are you?
Yeah.
No.
What's the fuck of this Me Too thing?
Oh gosh, oh,
you're just asking for it.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Like I I know that I have anger because like I get, but it doesn't come out until I get really tired. Like, you know, because we all travel like crazy. And it's when I get to like the frayed end of that travel that like
you're getting pushed to the limit a little bit.
Yeah, my girlfriend and I got into a fight about just like hanging paintings in the apartment, and like it had nothing to do with anything other than that I was just so exhausted that I was like,
I feel you.
Yeah.
What type of paintings were they? I mean, was there a legitimate concern of what was getting put up?
No, it was just that she wanted
naked photos of her ex or something.
Yeah,
and you were like, dude, this is, seems a little excessive.
Yeah, he's eating a pear. I don't like that.
I don't like that.
Very
fruit.
Sexual.
I have a pear allergy. Yeah. No, you know that.
Yeah, it's very triggering.
Yeah. No, I completely understand that because I'm a pretty even keeled guy. Like I try not to get mad about shit. Like and I really don't. I avoid conflict, but then. If I've traveled all day and I get my room key and I go to my room and the room key doesn't work and I have to go back down to the lobby, oh fuck all! I'm going down there.
That's amazing.
And like, but
I
it's
totally
just
hear
because,
you.
But it's just because I'm sleep deprived and I've been traveling all day.
All you're thinking about is going past that door.
Yes, that's it. And like, and going to bed or shower or whatever you
do. And that those thoughts have kept you somewhat intact. All the way to that moment, right? Like you're just like, dude, as long as I get in there, I'll lay down, I can do all the things and just kind of like, that's what I'm looking forward to.
That and like in the grand scheme of things, that's nothing. You go downstairs, you get a new key, it takes you 2 minutes. But
now do you take it out on the kind hotel clerk who had no clue that your key didn't work? They tried their best. They put it in. The machine fucking fucked up, you know?
Oh, you know, speaking of that, so I just flew back from Miami and at the Miami airport, I saw this guy just laying into this poor person who's probably just doing their job and and he's like screaming to the point where like everyone's looking.
Yeah.
And then he says these words. He's like screaming at her and then he goes,
I have somewhere to be. And we're all like, it's the fucking airport, dude.
We're all trying to be somewhere else.
Who's coming here because they're like, no, this Cinnabon's the best one in the city. Like,
that's so funny.
That's I have somewhere to be. Yes, we all have somewhere to be.
Well, that's that just like my shit's more important than yours.
Yes.
That,
yeah.
That every human has a little, has a bitsy of, you know?
Yeah, everybody's got a bitsy. Yeah. They've got a bitsy of anger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The,
I definitely, travel is triggering, and I don't know if it's like, my girlfriend's a psych nurse practitioner, and she's told me that I have,
we
like,
get it. She's better than you.
She's better than me. She's like way better, but like, but she's like, you definitely have like, you're triggered by bullies, you know, because I was bullied a lot growing up. I grew up in kind of a rich town, or at least the rich side of town. And then I grew up really poor. My mom was a waitress at Red Lobster. And so like anybody that, if I think they're kind of bullying me, I get like really angry.
Okay.
And,
well, because it's just bringing up like old emotions. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
would you get angry as a kid, or would you just kind of. Obviously, and then you would probably just close down, yeah?
Yeah, I think I would close down, and but like I was at the airport, and this guy, you know, I was flying, I got the upgrade, I was first class, nice, and then I'm going on into the plane, and then there's the American Airlines dude that was like, he's like, hey, you need to put your bag in the bag sizer thing. And you know the bag sizer thing is, no bag is that size.
No, dude.
You know that if you're going to put your bag in that thing, you're fucking checking your bag.
It's like, unless it's a fanny pack, it's not fitting in that thing.
Yes, you're right. It's only fanny packs. And so I put the thing in the thing, and then he's like, all right, we got to check your bag. And I was like I get in like, I don't know, this is like a bad reference, but I get in like Liam Neeson mode when I'm like I can feel that
I'm a black guy.
No.
So you're looking for a black guy to kill? That's inappropriate, Pete. I don't think a guy can condone that kind of behavior.
Being from the Midwest, I'm like, I love black people. I don't like killing them.
Some away.
But like, you know that mode where you talk very calmly you know you're freaking
out? You have to.
Yes.
I'm in first class. I'm like, I'm the fourth person to board the plane. I know this fits in the overhead.
Yeah. It's a bigger overhead. Yeah. That's why it's first class.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm an executive platinum flyer. I know the rules. I know that I don't have to check the bag. And he's like, no, sir, you're checking this bag.
Oh, now this guy just has his own agenda.
Yeah. And I was like, and that's where I was like, no, I'm not. I was like, I'm not checking this bag. And then we got into like a heated argument about it, which he grabbed my bag. I grabbed it back.
Yes.
And then I go and I put it on the plane, and then I'm sitting down in my seat. And then somebody comes and talks to me from the airline, and they're like, did you have an altercation with the guy? And I was like, yeah. I was like, that asshole tried to take my bag, and it clearly fits up here.
Look, it's there right now.
Yeah, and I was like, nothing fits in that fucking size.
Also, you're not treating me very firsty, you know?
Yeah. I was so angry, and I felt bullied or whatever, and then like I totally got my way, but then I felt bad, even though the guy was a jerk. I went online, because I remember his name was Luis, and it was at LaGuardia, and so I went on and I wrote like a nice review, like, hey, I had an altercation with Luis, and like, I know I complained about him, but I'd like to take it back, and I'm
you are
sorry.
So Midwest.
Oh man, that's so great. I was like,
I'd like to take back my altercation
with Luis, even though like, if you were to go like, yeah, but do you hate Luis, I'd be like, I fucking hate that guy. But I just didn't want him to get fired or anything.
Did you
like
tweet
that?
I know a lot of comics will tweet at the airlines when they're really perturbed, you know what I'm saying? Like, do these long diatribes of just like, fucking way to do this, you piece of shit. Like, and the airlines always respond to comics. They're like, so sorry, what happened? We tried our best. Maybe next time do this. And it's like, no, dude, like, you fucked up. Like, and Luis, like, you know, I'm sure had some other shit going on, but like, no need to, like, I don't know, man. There's certain things I think you just have to, even if you don't understand fully, like Luis clearly didn't, like, dude, like the small bag thing, most people know that does your bag fit in their thing is just like the worst game show of all time. It's like
the answer is always no.
Yeah. And there's no person like the bag, unless you literally.
Boring game show ever.
Does the bag fit?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Next week's episode. Yeah. All right. Well, same fucking thing.
You win. So
maybe a purse, but like, that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I it's like, yeah, I know for a fact my bag wouldn't fit in there, but I also know for a fact my bag fits in every overhead storage bin ever.
Well, if they did that to you, Brad, I would just get in myself. I would just, if I were you, I'd just, you get in.
I don't fit in this thing. Does that mean I can't fucking fit in the seat?
All right, sir, calm down.
Yeah, this is a size thing.
No, please, sir.
See, no. I've at least got that.
Your size is, what do you think, I'm a bitsy?
Yeah, I've at least got that. Say I'm a bitsy. Where I can always go, but like, this is because I'm a dwarf, which is why no one ever carded me even when I was like 17 and I looked 12. Yeah. And I would go to liquor stores and buy drinks.
That's amazing.
Because they didn't want to card me. They didn't want to have that thing where it's like, oh God, he could be 40.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you have like a full great beard? Did you have beard back then?
Like no, nothing. I was clean shaven forever. But and they still would let me get the booze just because it was like they were so scared. They'd be like, I am a 72-year-old man.
They didn't want to even
my
have
condition
that moment.
Makes me tiny. The one solace I have at the end of my day is my whiskey, and you're denying me.
I have to.
Piece of shit.
If I don't drink, I'll stay this size.
Yeah. It's the only thing that makes me grow. Now,
when did you start drinking?
Yeah.
Because the Midwest is
Wisconsin,
very booze heavy.
Like 12.
No, it's funny that you say 12 because in Wisconsin, there's a law. It was like one of the, you know, like how Jay Leno used to do those, like, have you heard about this law?
Yeah, it's a law.
Have you seen about it? Have you heard
those.
About it?
Yeah.
In Florida, you can't rape a horse in a bar. That's weird.
But you can't have chocolate milk after midnight. Yeah. Anyway, Vertical Horizon for you. Yeah,
he kind of pulls up his pants a little. But in Wisconsin, you can drink at a bar. Mm-hmm. It's the law. You can drink at the bar when you're 12 with your parents, but you can only have beer, and it can only be in the pony size of a beer. So they have Miller Lite has these little pony sized beers, and they have these little tiny pony glasses that you. It's like the glass that you get next to a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
And so like we grew up from 12 to 18, you can drink at the bar. From 18 to 21, you're fucked. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't drink.
Anything.
Okay. But then after 21, so like you grow up drinking there because it's a very
holy shit.
It's a very European place because the soil was really hard to farm, so they basically figured out it was the same soil as Germany. So they were like, hey, any German people, if you know how to farm this soil, you can have free land because we need you to farm. And so it's like very German, and I'm sorry I brought that up so close to Passover.
How dare you?
I'm not German.
How dare you?
Only one person at this table is German.
That is fascinating. That is fascinating. And I mean, does it make then drinking and parents more responsible? Because it's almost like, you know, you hear about parents talk about like sex. It's like, tell your kids about it early and give them the condoms so that they'll be safe and know that you're cool about it.
Don't make it a thing that's forbidden.
Yeah, because then they'll want to rebel.
Yeah. Right. Or verboten. Make it verboten.
No.
I mean, I think that it is one of those things where people are a little better at it. I mean, everyone in Wisconsin is a functional alcoholic, so I can't say that it's working to deter people from drinking a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would be at the bar with my friends that would be on their 12th drink, and I was training for a marathon, and they're like, you know, that's bad for you, right? Like, running? Like, that's
oh
really
oh, my God.
Like, do you realize...
Jim Fix died running, so, you know, what are you going to do? Old Boston Marathon thing? That happened while running.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously it's horrible for you.
Yeah, it's terrible for you.
Give me another scotch.
Your material that you've done on late night, your late night appearances, your many late night appearances.
Oh, thank you.
Found four
times, and Letterman. I'm getting ready to do the fifth one.
Whoa.
Which is stressful because, like, you know, when you do the first one, it's real strict on it. Like, your material's being combed over.
Yeah.
And, like, by the fourth one, like, the week of, they're like, what do you got? You know, and so I like Michael Cox always gives me crap. He's the booker of the Tonight Show. But he like because I'll always be like, I'm getting that set ready. Like I'm getting it ready. And then the week of I'm like, got to get it ready. And he's like, you lied to me. I was like, I did.
It worked. Guess what? I'm coming on the show.
Yeah, you trusted me.
That's funny. And at the same time, like. It's always weird to me when like you're doing five Tonight Shows or whatever it is because they go like, all right, so what you got now? It's like, dude, I used the best shit
On the first one, it's not like I was like, I'm holding out this one for my seventh appearance.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to constantly be writing more material.
Yeah, I'm always writing and thinking, you know, or like, I'll just get a little nugget where I'm like, oh, this could be something. And then I really develop it because I'm like, this seems like a Tonight Show type of a bit.
I was going to say, are you more cognizant of doing it now, of thinking in 5 minute bits? Because you're like, dude, let me just see how many of these I can stack up, right?
Yeah, right. Well, it's funny that I said that I'm not preparing because, like, for the last one, I wrote out 4 different sets that I could do. Mm-hmm. And I was trying them out, and then I went with the one that I thought that the Tonight Show would like the least. I felt like it was edgy, and when I first started on Monday, like developing it officially, before I taped it on Friday or on Thursday, like it actually was pretty edgy. And then by the time we got to the thing, it was so watered down that it was like just as friendly as the rest of the stuff. But
edgy do they allow you to be? Like,
not very. Yeah. I mean,
well, I accidentally sent a set to Michael that was not Tonight Show worthy at all.
Yeah.
I had gotten my like links mixed up and he was very offended. And I tried to apologize and be like, so sorry, this is clearly a mistake because why would I think this is appropriate for the Tonight Show?
Right. Yeah.
Why did you say your mom's cunt smells cunty?
Well, because it does. But that's besides the point.
We can't air that.
Yeah. You can blurp out cunty.
If you want to know how clean that joke is, you should smell it. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
I was exaggerating.
But I don't know if it's something you discuss with him before, or do you just get a sense of from watching other sets? Like the first time you went on, did he really go, yo, here are the words you can't say, here are the topics you can't discuss, or do you just try to find it by trial and error?
Yeah, you kind of do trial and error with him. Like there's no official set of stuff that you can't say, but it's kind of like, I'm somebody that just because of my Midwestern nature, I don't want to offend anybody anyway. And so I'm pretty well tailor-made for that show.
Yeah, truly.
But I do have some jokes that are a little bit edgy. I have a bit about where I say that, you know, my girlfriend sent me a porn. I tried to do this bit where so I changed it to adult video. And it's like the most wholesome porn bit that you can have. Big J Okerson bet me that I couldn't write a bit about porn. And then I showed up to the Comedy Cellars Fat Black Pussycat. It's called New Joke Night.
Yes.
Okay. So I showed up there and I was like, Big J, come in the room. I wrote this bit. And the bit basically goes like, my girlfriend sent me a porn and I'm like, just wow. Oh my God. Wow.
By the way, that's just a very funny reaction.
Yeah. Just wow, wow, wow.
Like wow to a porn.
Have you guys heard about this porn stuff? Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. Blew me away. And then I go, I scrolled to the end of it because I wanted to see if this couple had the baby. And I'm like, because it was this poor couple that just like wanted a family so bad.
Yeah.
And like,
they started banging everywhere.
Yeah. They were doing it by the pool. At one point, they brought the neighbor over just to help out. Yeah. You know, and then the closer to it is like, you know, I'm not trying to ruin it for you guys, but they're going to have to adopt. The guy did the most important part way wrong, you know? And it's a great bit, and I never do anything dirty, and it's all about just like, you know,
it's all like anything that's dirty implied, about that bit is happening in the viewer's own head.
Totally implied.
It's not you saying anything. You didn't say it came out of the thing. You're like, you did the most important part, which. What's the most important part?
Yeah.
The cuddle afterward? We don't know. Like, that could mean anything.
Yeah, it could mean anything. And so, but I was going to do it, and I think that I could have gotten it past Michael, but I did it at the store, and David Spade saw it, and David texted Michael, and he's like, yeah, I don't think you can do that porn closer. And I was like, damn, you just shoot me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and like,
why did Spade care?
I think, well, because my whole set was really great and very consistent, and it was also running a little bit long. And then I'd never met David Spade before, and David, like, I'm not like shitting on David Spade. He like called me over and was like, "Dude, that was great. You're really funny." And I was like, "I like you. You're famous." Yeah. You know. So it was a really positive interaction. But then he texted Cox. He's like, "Hey, I just saw your boy run his set." And he's like, "What'd you think of it?" And he's like, "It was really good." But he's like, "I don't know if we can do that porn closer." And then it got in Michael's head. Like,
He might have even been joking or like.
Maybe. Who knows? But like.
But why even say that?
But Michael was like, "Yeah, so the porn closer is out."
See, there's no rhyme or reason for some of those things. And that's like.
Yeah.
Right? Michael got fixated on it and probably was like, "Oh, Spade's got a point. Also, it's Spade.
Right.
It's telling
Mike something. And Mike's not, you know."
Yeah, even I was like, David says I can't do this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to do that as my closer on the fifth one because I think that I bought myself enough, you know,
clout
with it. I think so, dude. Also, just even preface it with, like, they told me I shouldn't do this. Actually, David Spade did, but so this one's for Spade. And then if you dedicate it to him, a guy that Fallon loves, right? Then you know,
that'll work out.
And
is it true that you got your first Tonight Show just because Jimmy showed up to a comedy club one night and you happened to be on stage?
Yeah, it's kind of a ridiculous story. So, you know how we go through like ebb and flows in this in this business you're hot and then you're as cold as ice. Mm-hmm. And I was going through a really cold period, and then a friend of mine who's like she's this girl who's like real hipster, like, you know, like, I don't know, ask the Crystals, you know, like one of those. She goes,
that's she's twin friends named Crystal.
Yeah,
Crystal.
That's my friend Crystal who has crystals. It's like a double crystal. You're like, kind of thing.
So much power in the crystals.
I do. Yeah, I have a problem with those. People, but also, like, you know, no judgment if that works for you, because again, there's so much stress and there's so much anxiety in the world. So it's like, yeah, dude, if that calms you down, but also, hey, we get to be like, you're a little crazy, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I prefer my medicine to come from, you know, penicillin
or booze, you know?
Yeah. Not like, oh, no, but this comes from a volcano in Tibet. You're like, all right.
Okay. What kind of crystals were they?
Well, this crystal friend was like, she's like, have you ever done The Secret, you know, where you just ask the universe. And I was like, this is stupid. She was like, you should read the book. And every time I ran into her, she's like, read The Secret. Mm-hmm. And so I was lazy, so I watched it on YouTube.
There you go.
Like, you know how your phone listens to you? Like, I went on YouTube and it was just like, The Secret. And I was like, okay, you know, the phone's telling me I should do it.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it, and it says in the middle of the documentary about it, it says, now's the time when you pause this program and you wish for something unreasonable. And so I was like, all right, well, I heard about what happened in Nate Bargatze where Fallon just showed up at the stand. I was like, I know Fallon lives like right across the street from the stand. Mm-hmm. So I was like, maybe he could show up for me. Maybe he could show up and see me, and then he'll like me and I'll go on the Tonight Show. And then I, like, the unreasonable part, I was like, and then I'll get a standing ovation. And like, I really like wished for that in my living room.
And then
I was like, okay, universe,
you close your eyes. What's your wish?
I just set it to the ceiling, cause I felt like the universe was up there or something, you know,
outside of the ceiling,
And, and so 3 days later I get an email that says like, hey, you have a Tonight Show showcase. And I was like, what? The Secret? Oh my God, it's The Secret. And then I'm standing there at the bar with this girl that I was dating, drinking a whiskey. And then the manager of the stand, Adele, walks by. And then my former manager, David Kimowitz, who's awesome. I'm not with him anymore, but he's awesome. He walks by and he's kind of smirking at me. And then the next guy is Jimmy Fallon. And he's like, hey, Pete, how's it going? He's like, Dave told me to come see you. He's like, you know, they're having the showcase. So I just live right there. And in my head, I wanted to go like, I know where you live. Yeah. But instead, I out of my face I go, oh my God, The Secret is real. And that's the first thing that I said to Jimmy Fallon was, oh my God, The Secret is real.
And did he laugh?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what that's all about, but that's cool. And
I would think you and Jimmy Fallon, if you guys are talking, That would be the world record before anyone said anything negative about anything.
Oh, like, my God,
just,
yeah.
Because you and Jimmy Fallon are both such just so positive balls of energy. If like, you and Jimmy Fallon and Ron Funches should just all sit down together and be like, all right, it's like a game of chicken, but someone's got to say something mean about someone.
And Joe Pesci, just to mix things up.
Where are you fucking guys? Yeah. Oh, I'm out.
There would have to be a balance in the universe with all the positivity. Like, people are dying left and right in the world because all that happiness is happening in a vortex.
So spread it out. It's in one room in the Bronx. Come on.
Wait, so nerves then go through the roof.
Yeah, right?
Or do you get more calm because you're like, all right, like,
I got The Secret on my side. Yeah. I can't fail.
I was freaking out because then I saw the list. And so it was MC, first guy going up, then Roy Wood Jr., who was running his Tonight Show that he was doing like a night later or 2 nights later. And then me. So I was like, crap, I got to follow Roy Wood. He's a monster. Yeah. So, my heart starts pounding and I'm like, all right, whiskey. So I have like two whiskeys, and I don't know if you've ever heard like Hedberg, what he said about his first Letterman is that he just downed a fifth of whiskey so that the warmth hit him by the time he got out there.
Wow.
And so I was like, Hedberg, you know, like he was my friend. Things worked out well for him.
Yeah,
I'll just drink this whiskey. So it really started to hit me as I was walking on stage. And I went up and like my first joke killed, like, thank God. Mm-hmm. And then I was doing the set, and like in New York, nobody wants to acknowledge famous people. You know, like, right. Like I feel like in LA, people are more apt to be like, oh my God, Fallon's
over
there.
For sure.
Yeah.
And absolutely. In New York.
Oh, Paul Giamatti can walk through any crosswalk and no one's like, Giamatti.
Yeah.
There's like, Paul. He's like, huh? Like,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, I don't care. I just want to stop you to tell you I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. All right. I have something about Paul Giamatti, too, in this whole story.
Dude, I love Giamatti tangents.
Yeah. Well, he wraps into this because he was on my episode of The Tonight Show, the first one.
Oh, yes. Shit.
And I was just about ready to go on, and he was leaving, and I'm skipping ahead, but I was so, like, hyped up and nervous, and I was like, hey, man. I was like, that was a great segment. And he's like, cool, man. He goes, are you just about to go up? I was like, yeah, first time on The Tonight Show. So excited, so nervous. And he goes, yeah, not over here. Like, he's so grizzled as an entertainment veteran that he was literally like drinking coffee to like wake up like, yeah, what a day.
Holy shit.
And he went on and killed, and he obviously loves The Tonight Show, but he just was like, you know, like it was just so
just punching in and punching out.
Yeah. Like
that's amazing.
He seems like he would do that for anything. He seems like, your wife just gave birth. All right.
Yeah. Good, good. So it's a baby?
It's a baby. What?
Yeah. Baby. Did the greatest shit of my life today. Anyway, well, probably have to pee later, too. Yeah. All right. Are you happy?
Your mom just died. Okay. I mean, yeah. Oh, God. It would have been eventually.
Can still go to the movies, right?
Shit.
All right. So so back to the set. So
now your first joke kills.
First joke kills. And then I get to this joke in the set where I say, I never want to offend anybody. Like the other day, this guy sneezed and I want to say bless you, but instead I go happy holidays. And Fallon stands up and he claps his hands. He goes, yes. He goes, I love this guy. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. Right. Yeah. And the crowd goes nuts because they can finally acknowledge him. And then I'm like, do I deviate from the set that I sent to Michael, or I'm like, I got to ad lib with him. So I go, thank you, Jimmy or sir. I don't know what I can call you yet. And then I wanted to say, I love your Tonight Show. But instead I go, like my comedian in me kicked in and I go, I love your, impulse control. And, and the crowd went nuts and he's like, thanks, man. Blah, blah. And then I went back to the set and killed. And then right afterwards, they invited me on the Tonight Show.
Right after that.
Right afterwards, and holy I was like, shit. It just couldn't.
Like he
have
did
better.
After like out in the hall or what?
Well, he got a beer spilled on him, like during the middle of the show. So he, I was like standing by the curtain because I was like, he's not gonna not say bye to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you got to position yourself. Yeah, near was, there, so he can.
I was boxing out. There were other comics trying to get that spot, and I was like, I was boxing out.
Hey, fuck you, man. No.
So I see him walking towards me with khakis, and they had like black, because they had black napkins at the stand. Mm-hmm. And so somebody spilled a beer on him, and then he tried to wipe it off with the black napkins, and then he just had like black all. It looked like what was the was it Billy Madison? Like everybody pees their pants. Yes. It's the coolest. Yes. But like with like black devil piss.
Oh Jesus,
oh, man!
And
devil piss,
black devil piss.
Another
khakis.
Great song title. It's pretty great.
And so he gets up and he's like, hey man, great set. He's like, they're gonna invite you on the show. He's like, I gotta go. And then he like runs off. And
across the street to his house.
Yeah, across the street. And he could have changed and came back, I guess. But but
we'll talk about it on my sixth time.
Yeah. And then he so then his producer invited me on the show, and Michael invited me on the show right afterwards. And then when I went on the show, it was really great. I got the standing ovation. It all worked out. And then at the very end, they have you sign Questlove's drumsticks from that night.
Okay.
And then they have you sign this guest book. So in my dressing room, there was like, you know, the drumsticks and then the guest book. And I was like, oh my God, Questlove gave me his drumsticks.
Hilarious.
And because Questlove came to the dressing room and he was like, dude, that was really great. Like, I really loved your set, da 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 da. And I thought that it was like a gift because he liked my set so much. So I just took his drumsticks and I signed the book and I left. And then, of course, I go to Michael's Crafts and I have my cue cards framed and I put the drumsticks in there. And then I get a text about a week later from Michael going, did you take the fucking drumsticks?
And I was like, you mean the ones that were a gift special from Questlove? And he was like, those were not a gift, dude. I'm going to show it to you.
You guys aren't friends.
Yeah, he's like, he does not care about you in that way.
Didn't you hear Paul Giamatti say that when he left?
Yeah. So that actually, technically, that ties back into the art, because that was some of the art that I wanted to hang in the apartment. And she was like, do we got to be hanging cue cards like that?
Dude, that's incredible.
But yes.
So the question is, do you still have the drumsticks?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've made a joke about, like, if I ever get to panel on the Tonight Show, I think that I want to bring this there and then break the glass and give Questlove his drumsticks.
Get your drumsticks back. Now we can have everybody sign.
Yeah,
that's so awesome, man.
Does it get more exciting each time you do it, or is it like, you know, like getting to, like, Disneyland as a kid was such a big deal, and then when I moved down here and it was 45 minutes from me, I was like, it's still pretty cool, but like some of the novelty factor goes away. So like when you still go into the dressing room set and you're getting ready for the show and the whole prep, like you get not complacent, but just you know, it's not as exciting as it once was. Or
yeah, I'm full Giamatti at this point. I'm just like, fuck this shit. Oh God, I need coffee just to feel just something.
Boner, yeah.
No, I'm, it's weird. The first time, first through four times I took, I actually took this drug called propranolol. Have you guys ever heard of it?
No.
Did it kill Michael Jackson?
It killed Michael Jackson, yeah.
That's all I know.
But it's great for stand-up sets.
Yeah.
If only Michael had done stand-up with it, not danced.
Yeah. He wouldn't have touched those boys.
I think that somehow ties together,
It does, yeah. Well, it's a beta blocker that basically is a heart rate medication. The way that it works is that if you take it, your thoughts and everything is normal. Like you're still quick. You have high mental acuity, I think is the term. But you just can't feel nervous. Like it kills your fight or flight reflex. So, really? so if you guys took it and I was shooting you with a Tommy gun, you'd be like, cool bullets. This is crazy.
But you said Dick Tracy. I love that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're still quick witted. And, I've always had trouble with nerves and stuff like that. And then, I got prescribed some propranolol. It's like just a spot treatment. So, you know, like a big thing like that, I'll take a propranolol, and it's crazy because I should be freaking out. And everybody's like, aren't you nervous? And I'm like, I can't be. I don't have that right now.
Physically, wow. I cannot. That is impossible. You're like fucking Spock.
Yeah.
Where it's just all logic and it's not any emotion tied into it at all.
Yeah. And the weird thing is that I'll be like behind the curtain.
You should take that before sex with your girlfriend. You're like, this feels great. This is fun. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
Don't you feel good? Just like completely.
This is pure pleasure.
Speaking of pure pleasure, your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Snugglestorm.
Snugglestorm. Thank you.
Great title.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's my girlfriend and I. We do an advice podcast, and she's a psych nurse practitioner. Yep. I'm a comedian. She's the only one qualified to give anyone any advice, and she's really great at it. And then I just kind of do, I don't know, it's kind of like Love Lines with Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
Yep. Yeah.
But I guess with, you know, a psych nurse practitioner and a guy who's annoyingly nice.
Yeah.
And then we have comics on. If you guys would love to come on.
Dude, 1,000%.
I would love that. You can come over to our house.
Yes.
There you go.
Do you take live callers, or do they Skype in, or how does it work?
I need to get the technology. You guys know how to take live callers, right? I need to figure that out, because right now it's just emails. So,
that's also cool. You read the emails, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you truly, like, done some good work and help people out, or do you try to, you're bringing the comedy side, right? And your girl's trying to really help them.
She's helping people. I mean, I think that she's helped a lot of people out, because you know, the comics that come on, they all get to ask her a psych question.
Oh wow.
And usually it's something that they've been struggling with for a long time, and when you talk to a therapist,
like their sexuality, just me. Sorry, did I say that too quickly?
You did.
I mean, you guys look great. I mean, fuck,
damn it. They're just gay feelings.
Oh, okay.
They're just feelings, just like you want a cheeseburger the next day you don't.
Yeah.
You know,
some days you want a dick.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But I think that the comics mostly have been helped by it, you know, because I think that sometimes when you go to therapy, they milk it, and, you know, like, they could help you out a lot faster than they do. And that's somebody who spent thousands of dollars on therapy. But she'll really get to the bone, like get to the nut of it, and like help somebody out. And there have been a couple comics on the podcast and off the podcast that She's actually, she can prescribe medications, but she hasn't prescribed them medications, but she's told them to go to a doctor and get this specific one because she knows. Like, yeah. She knows exactly what they need.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know how she is as good at her job as she is.
Really?
It's insane how good she is. Like, we can, and it also works the other way. Like somebody will come up to my merch table after a show and they'll just be a little whatever. And she'll just call out the medication. She'll be like, that's that one. Like,
holy shit.
Like, that's
they're on Lexapro.
That's a unique skill set. No kidding.
Like, it's like an energy thing. Like, sometimes when I fly, like today I took a Klonopin before, cause I flew from Albany to Philly to here. And then I had to take a nap and then come here and do this. And I felt like a maniac.
Oh my God.
So I took it's 0.25 milligrams of Klonopin. Mm-hmm. And when I got home, I was just like saying hi to her and she was like, Klonopin. She's like, you took it today. And I was like, yeah. She's like, you remember, you got to watch out with that shit. Like, she's like, never more than 2 days in a row. Otherwise,
holy,
it's going to fuck with your
what
nerves.
What does Klonopin do?
Klonopin's an anti-anxiety. And like, sometimes when I get so exhausted, I just like, I get really brittle.
Yeah.
But then you still got to go out and do stuff like this. And I obviously have the energy. So
yeah, you're great.
But I'm basically doing, you know, when like a cold front and a warm front meet and there's a tornado, like I'm meeting Klonopin with cold brew right now.
Which is great. One of my favorite things to do is smoke a blunt and drink a coffee on a patio. Yeah.
It's an upper, it's a downer. Oh, you're in the middle of a war.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like Elvis, but with mom drugs.
Right, he did love peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And bananas and bacon.
Did you have any sort of trepidations about doing, like, you know, mixing business and pleasure with your girl?
Well, it was weird because I initially was just going to do Snuggle Storm by myself.
Yeah.
And then she was sitting on the couch and she was studying for her boards. And Kelsey Cook was our first guest. Mm-hmm. And then we just kept talking to her. And so I was like, I got to plug in another mic. And Jamie, you got to come over here. And she was like, she's adamant. She's like, I don't want to be in show business. She's like, I don't want to do this. I have no aspirations. And then since she's been on our podcast, then Nikki Glaser has her on her show. Mm-hmm. And then other people have been like, come do this. And because she's really comfortable and charismatic and she's got this really smooth Southern voice.
Yeah.
And
easy to listen to.
Yeah. So it's.
And then at the same time, it's almost because she's not trying to get into show business that she's giving the best advice. She's not trying to do like, okay, what can I tell this person that's outrageous and will get clicks and maybe I can get them to cry or kill themselves. You know, like, it's like, no, she's just giving good advice.
Yeah, she's given good advice. And also, like, if there's any, like, after, you know, we recently had a friend pass away, all of us. She was like, she's like, if you can tell anybody that you know, like, if anybody's having trouble, like, have them reach out to me. I'll have her contact them because she can really help people out. Wow. Like,
that's amazing.
She's so good at that.
That's and that's great that you have that along with you being the friendly funny guy.
So yeah,
it's everything you need in a podcast, really.
Yeah, yeah,
she'll help you out.
Yeah, I'll make you chuckle and she'll save your life.
It's a pretty good combo.
Same time.
Yeah. We have a few more minutes with you, and I do want to know, you
dick sized? No.
Yes, but also the dick size of the Duck Dynasty guys.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The
duck size of all.
How
those
the fuck
guys.
Did you work on that show?
Well, there's a guy that lives on your street, actually, just down the street. That's one of my good friends. Do you guys know Josh Wade?
I do not.
No.
Josh Wade was the executive producer of Duck Dynasty and pretty much the head writer for a lot of years. Duck Dynasty was an amazing show where they took a bunch of guys and they essentially did a sitcom with them where they would just feed them the lines. And it'd be like, imagine if we were having a conversation and it's like, all right, we each have three lines that we got to get in,
yeah.
You know, almost like how they tell Curb Your Enthusiasm actors to do.
Right.
And the Duck Dynasty guys just perfected it. And so, like you'd feed like Uncle Si a punchline and all that kind of stuff. And then, so I worked on that a little bit. Oh, I'm getting texts. I think they're looking for me at the improv. Oh, okay. Shit.
Oh no, you far away, mate. You're up next. I gotta go.
Okay. Well,
to be continued.
Yeah, to be continued.
To be continued. But, thank you. Snuggle podcast.
Snuggle Storm. Tour dates at PeteLee.com.
Yeah, please go to.
We'll have you back.
Yeah, please have me back. Follow me on Instagram, PeteLee on Twitter at PeteLee tweets. Go to PeteLee.net for tour dates. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry about everything. I'm really sorry.
As long as we ended this podcast with you apologizing,
it's perfect.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what it is.
You're the best. Thanks, Pete.
All right, thank you guys.
Hey, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?